Blog Talk Radio.
Jim Berg, Killer Bees Barbecue, the one and only radio show you need to listen to on Monday nights
recapping a few contests and everything out there. We have a jam-packed show. First of all, we have QL, Mike Wozniak, talk about new rules changes for 2014. So listen in, people, because he's only going to say it once. He'll explain if you got any questions about them, whatever, call in. We'll take his can. And then next we'll have Swamp Boys. Rub Bagby will be on. Talk about him whipping everybody's butt. And also making it to Jeff as number 7. I do want to congratulate one of my sponsors and a great friend of mine, Jeff Campbell from WikiQ, for winning this past weekend. And to Jeremy Moyers, Moyers Competition Barbecue, getting another reserve grand. Missed it by half a point. Real tight showing up there in Athens, Georgia this past week. Great venue. Jim Stinson put on another great organizational skill. The reps were a little questionable, Kathy and Philip Frazier, but I'm just kidding. They're great reps. Everything is great. Downtown Athens, home of Bulldog Country. You couldn't love that. Congrats to Bubba Latimer for third. We ended up fourth overall, but had a sound showing. Ribs kind of let us down a little bit, but I also want to congratulate True, but I think this is on their, I don't know, somewhere around their 25th grand this year. I don't know. Keep track of those guys. They just keep winning everywhere they go. It's great. Great to see them. Also, I want to congratulate another one of my sponsors, Scott Smith from Southern Q Smokers, Q and Stewing and Brewing. Took grand down in Mississippi with South Fork, I believe, Swig and Pig taking reserve grand. Another Southern Q Smoker sponsor. And for South Fork taking third overall, good friend of mine, David Morrow, for getting a perfect 180 in brisket. It's about time. Hopefully he'll quit whining, but no, he's a great guy. He's just been running the series really hard this year and wearing on him. But David, we love you, buddy. Yeah, great. Congratulations on your 180 and brisket. You deserve it. Did I mention, Scott Smith also had a 702, and I think Trueput had a 700 this weekend also. So congrats to both of them. I know Mike's on the line. We're going to get to you in just a minute, Mike. I also want to go over a guy had approached me online a few weeks ago, and his name is George Hensler, and he wrote a barbecue book, and it's called Totally Q. And I've been reading a little bits and pieces of it and stuff. And I'll tell you what, this is a very, very good read. I've just kind of touched on a lot of little things in here. I mean, he goes over, you know, the politics of barbecue. He goes over barbecue joints, how you can easily get hooked in doing barbecue competitions. You know, he talks about tips and sauces and stuff, the different forms and publications that's out there. And it's just a really, really good read. It's a really good book to take to some of these contests when you're kind of bored and you ain't got nothing to do. You need to check out this book. Like I said, it's called Totally Q. And I just started reading it not too long ago, just at the competition stuff. I kind of keep it in my trailer. But, you know, it's a lot of fun to read. A lot of it, there is a lot of truth to what he has to say in there. I'm not going to say all of it's true, but it's a really good read. You need to check it out. He gets to come towards some of the lighter sides of barbecue and stuff. So get a chance, pick it up. It's called Totally Q by George Hensler. I'm sure he's out there on the web somewhere. And pick you up a copy of this. This is a really good read. It's not overly expensive book. The guy seems to know what he's talking about. He's got some great people helping him out with this book, you know, with Dr. Barbecue and all those guys giving him some insight and stuff. So really good to see. He mentions a lot of themes and stuff. So really, really good read. Well, with no further ado, I'd like to get Mike on here. He's been traveling out in the West, and he's been doing very well out in the West. And, of course, he gets to see all the beautiful sights and stuff, and Wyoming and Montana and stuff. And, you know, down here in Georgia, we see, you know, mosquitoes, you know, flat-footed, they can outbox a turkey. So, you know, how's it going, Mike?
Well, not bad at all. I tell you what, I'm trying to catch up on my sleep. We left Worland, Wyoming, and the first thing we hit, it's 84 miles to get over the Bighorn Mountains, and I want to get over them before dark. And then, it's a long, boring drive right through, like, Wyoming and South Dakota. So Pretty much drove straight through. I pulled over and slept for about 4 hours, but I got a pretty good night's sleep last night.
Well, that's good. So how long were you out west for? I know you were in Wyoming, and were you in Montana first? Or?
Yeah, we went up and cooked that big contest up in Rochester, Minnesota, and that was a good one. We had all the Iowa guys there, and there was 51 teams. And we left there that Saturday, and we headed out to Devil's Tower, and we spent a couple days there with Mike and Chris Peters from the Barbecue Tour and Scotty Johnson from Cancer Sucks. And I don't know if anybody's ever been out to the Devil's Tower, but it's a beautiful place. That's amazing. If you ever get a chance, you should go see it. And then that Tuesday morning, we left and headed out to Billings. And then Wednesday morning, we went to the contest site at the Billings Montana State Fair. And they had, I think, 26 teams there. And it's a nice little contest, and they're trying to make it bigger. I think next year they're talking about having $15,000. What's attractive about it is it's a Wednesday-Thursday contest. So you cook that on Wednesday and Thursday, and then you pack up after awards and head down to Warland, Wyoming, which is only 160 miles away.
Well, that's pretty good. That beats a Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday contest, which is where you're at.
I hate those. I don't like getting there late on Friday night or late Saturday night for a Saturday, Sunday contest and, starting to cook. I want to get at least a good night's sleep in between. So, it works out pretty well. And we with the money going to be bumped up like that, I think we're planning on doing it again next year.
Yeah, sounds great. And I saw some of your Facebook photos and stuff out there. It looks like beautiful country out that way. And
it is.
You know, we've always wanted to, we get like you and get retired and we go cruise all over. That's what we're going to do 1 year is just cruise out west, do the comps out there, see the country at the same time. And
yeah, they got big mountains out there. You know, in Illinois, we just drive on flat roads with lots of cornfields. So it's
right.
Going up them Bighorn Mountains, they got switchbacks. And it's them deals where you look over and, if you go over the cliff, it's 1,000 feet down. So it's a little different than what we're used to driving. So we got a Jake brake on the truck, and that gives you a little bit of security there. But, it's kind of scary for us flatlanders, you know.
Yeah, it's white knuckle racing. Yeah, some of the switchbacks I hear when you turn the corner, you can see your trailer on the side.
well, I don't know if it's that bad, but I'm looking forward. I'm not looking backwards. I'm just looking forward and getting ready to hit the brakes if I have to. But
there you go.
A little different. And it's not like the Rockies. You know, the Rockies on the interstate. You know, those are big sweeping roads. This is this little narrow road and. It's like you say, you got switchbacks and stuff, and most time you're in second or third gear, and
right.
So it's a slow going, but you get there.
Just taking it easy and not pushing it, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you've been doing very well this year too. I guess you're going to be making it to the Jack Daniels we talked about earlier and everything, and I think we discussed, are you still at 86 grand championships in your career, or have you bumped it up a couple?
We got 66.
66. Right.
We've actually, and then we have some grilling championship, but when we say 66, we went to a contest and we were the grand champion there. We're not
right.
Counting categories or anything. So, and that's 13 years of cooking. We got that. We got some grilling championships and, some other little, one year we were the Alabama Triple Crown winners. We were the Kentucky Triple Crown winners 1 year. And, we got numerous. One thing I'm really most proudest of, I think, and is that I think, I'm not positive, and maybe someone out there would know, but I think we might be the only team that has won all four, been team of the year in all four meat categories. And I don't know if anybody's ever done that. And I talked to Don Wills from Smokers Wild. He was a record keeper for quite a while. And he didn't think anybody had done. So that's one of the things we were really proud of when I think 2010, we finally won pork. That was the one that always eluded us because pork to me is just a funny category. You know, sometimes I think it's really good and the judges hate it. Sometimes I don't think it's good and the judges like it. And sometimes they say, you hear a judge, they go, well, the pork was bland. Well, then you spice something, they say, oh, it's too spicy. And I don't know. and you were like this
what
week,
the hell
we got. Yeah, we got up in Montana. We had And well, you know, nowadays you got the new scorecard, and so you can see how they're scoring, and you know, if you hit a bad table, so that's your excuse. Now you say, well, hell, I hit the bad table. You know, table yeah. four was the low scoring table, and now that's why they win. But up in Montana, we hit a table, and just in taste, I got 3-9s in taste on pork, and then I got 7-6-6. So they either loved it or hated it, I guess.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because we were in a cook's meeting up there in Athens this past week. You know, we had barbecue and all them guys, whiskey and all those. You've been down here before. And Philip, I was talking to somebody along the back wall, and Philip called me out on a new scoring sheet. He goes, Jim, he said, why are you talking about that? How do you like those new scoring sheets? I said, I love them. He goes, really, why? And I said, then you just see how bad the judging sucks. So needless to say, he didn't ask me any more questions.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only advantage is, and I've seen this before, some of my friends do this, if they don't do well in a category, they'll start changing stuff. Well, now you can see, well, hey, I won my table, you know. And
yep, exactly.
It was a bad table. I don't need to change anything. Although I don't know that does you, I don't know what good it does you because it don't help you, you know, get a higher score or win the contest because you just know that you got screwed by some judges. That's all you really it amounts to. And you just go home with a sour taste in your mouth. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I mean, when you win your table and you're 21st or something, it really pisses you off.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, some of that I think we talked on this before is how they – some people doing new judging where they're starting them off at a 6 and going up. And, you know, the new judges just don't understand how that works. And, I was talking to Philip about this, Frazier. You know, we're not out there expecting to get all 9. You know, we know there's going to be some discrepancies, you know, people's taste or whatever. But like you said, when you get, like, 4 999s, you get a 998 and a 9. You know, or 7-6-6 or something. And something needs to be done about that. That's just, that's probably a new judge or somebody just does not like barbecue. And, I mean, those are the only two ways we can put it. So, you know, we know we've, you know, most of us cooks, when we have decent cooks, we know when we've done well and when we have. And, you know, it's just disheartening when you're in your table and you're 21st, in one case, 29th. You know, they need to bump it up. You can see the average of the judges for that day. And somebody scores a 25. I don't think it has an average of 25. I don't think you can eat that much bad barbecue at a professional contest. You're going to get some, but, you know, the norm should be up around 30, 31, somewhere like that.
Exactly. Most of the tables that score a little bit higher, the judges are probably somewhere around 31. You know, that's their average. And then, this table we hit up there in Montana that we had 3 real low scores, the averages, one of them was averaging a 27.9 or something like that, and then the other one was like a 28 and a high 28. And it's like, even though you're above their average, you're still getting killed. And, boy, I tell you what, it's like in Warren, Wyoming, we had a really good brisket, and we hit this bad table in pork, and we were the grand and reserve in third. We ended up third. We were covered by 1 point. Well, you know, they didn't hit the table, and I did. They, you know, the bad table. And, I mean, it comes down to it can cost your contest. So I don't know what good – like I say, you can see that, but I don't know what good it does you because nothing gets resolved. I guess they have the ability. Yeah, I guess they have the ability to track judges, but they don't have the – you know, the data's in there, but like they know who judge 3 at table 4 is, but I don't know that they're ever going to use that data to track them.
And sometimes we like that data, too.
Well, yeah, I just like to know their name and phone number and where they live, you know.
That's all. No big deal, you know. No big deal. The new scoring system I really like you said, it kind of tells. See, I've known from, and I've got Rub Bagby from Swamp Boys coming on. They've been doing this for years down in Florida. I don't know if you ever cooked a barbecue for the fishing.
Yeah, I know Rub real well.
Well, he's going to be on here probably about 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
But But, you know, they've been doing this in Florida for a while, and it's really good because you can actually see, you know, where you're at on the tables. Like you said, if these teams will take, especially new teams, will take these and use these as a tool to see, well, none of them liked it, or, you know, they all kind of scored me mediocre, but I won my table. Well, that just tells me I'm better than five others, and it's not that bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see who you're up against and all this other stuff. So you kind of gauge your stuff as to where, you know, like if you got a team that's, you know, hitting them poor, for instance, and you're second behind him on the table and you finished, you know, 20th. Okay, well, you were second behind him, which was good, but you're on a low scoring table. So,
yeah. You
know, it kind of lets you know stuff like that. You got to really look at these things to, you know, kind of analyze them and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I really like it. I really do. And, you know, I think this is about our fifth or sixth one we've had them. So I kind of go back and analyze everything. Of course, none of the judges really care for my chicken hole up, but the other thing has been hitting. But yeah, we were second in four cup in Greenwood on our table, and we were 34th. So,
oh, man.
Well,
there were 13 tables, too, I think. So, but yep. Still, that's
yeah, and we were first in ribs and got 14th. So we're like, but hey, we were third in chicken and got 8th. So what do you do, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but no, it's really good
information. Yeah, the information can help you, but also it's also frustrating sometimes too. So
it is, but I tell you what though, it really lets you know how different the judging is. You know, people said, it's this and this and this, and you know, when you get like say for instance, I got 8th in chicken, you think, well, I won the table. Go back and look at now 3rd. No, you didn't win your damn table. You saw people that really liked everybody's chicken. You know, so
yeah.
That kind of helps too. So you got to deal with the bad and everything else. And, you know, we had a really good cook up in Franklin. Our pork was dead ass on, and we got 5th and finished 32nd in pork. And I'm like, good Lord, what happened? I mean, it was dead on. So this past weekend, we went to Athens and cooked the same pork and got 3rd.
Yeah.
So, you know, I haven't changed my pork one iota in. It's been almost a year now, and we've had very few. For a while there, about 22 straight contests, we weren't even out of the top 10 of pork. But we got some of these ones, and they've been blowing me up on. So, but you know, like I said, it's a good tool. You can see where everybody else scores, and sometimes it doesn't make you feel so bad. Other times you're like, well, this backyard team comes in here and kicks my butt. What's up with that?
Yeah.
So, like I said, different flavor of the judges and all that.
Are you sitting at 6 for the Jack?
I'm sitting at 6. Yeah.
We got 2 weeks left, right?
Yeah, I got one contest left, though.
Oh, only
got one. This weekend up in Greer, South Carolina, of course, one of your buddies, Mike Waddabull, will be up there. He's won Greenwood.
There's a bunch of them sitting at 6 right now. Hogtide, Little Pigtown. I think Butcher's sitting at 6, too.
So
I think they're all going to be, these next 2 weeks, they're all going to be going all over the place trying to get that 6th. I'll tell you one, this is way, way far away, but up there in Hill City, South Dakota, it's going to be an automatic for the Jack because the other South Dakota contests, I won one of them, Parrothead won like 2 or 3 of them, and we're both automatics. So,
right.
And there's only 15 teams. So if somebody wants to drive up there, it's up by Rapid City, up by the Black Hills. They're begging for teams to come up there, and it's whoever wins it is going to go to the Jack. So
I'm
got
the fly
fuel
there.
Money. There you go.
It'd take me a week to drive up and a week to drive back and a divorce. Yeah,
it would, but boy, if you win that, then you know you're in. So it's a
win.
Well,
if I win this one, I'm in. If I just win my next one, I'm in. But no, it'd be good to see Mike and like, I saw him in Greenwood, and I was, you know, we don't get to see too many Midwesterners over here a whole lot, so it's good to see new teams. Now you made a run down here in Georgia back a couple years ago when I first started.
Oh, we cooked Georgia quite a bit. We used to cook the best of the best there in Douglas, and then the last year they had, I think we cooked it the last year they had it, which was down in Waycross.
Yeah.
We cooked it in 2005, 6, 7, 8. Then we took a couple years off, and then we cooked it again in 2011. And I think we ended up with, in the meat categories, I think we ended up with about 15 or 16 bells. You know, they only gave them out to the top three. And there was a couple of years, you know, we won four or five bells. And so we enjoyed it. And, you know, I know that it was getting, you know, Douglas, you know, they didn't really back him. So that's why he went to Waycross. And then, you know, the Waycross club or whatever was helping him out, they, you know, kind of just didn't want to do it. So. But it was a good contest. We always enjoyed it. And then, you know, we've cooked other Georgia contests. I think the last time we cooked in Georgia was Cummings, that big one. But that was like 2011. And, oh, we cooked the Cherokee Picnic.
Yeah, you were down in Canton that year. The first year I cooked it.
Yeah.
It was a good setting. They had, good Lord, they had room for 300 teams, but it spread you out so much.
Yeah, it was
a big one. You're in a different area code. For the turn-in.
I think so.
But no, that was a really good venue.
Yeah, we like that. And you know, we just right now there. You know, when we started cooking, there was I think 80 contests total across the country, KCBS sanctioned. Now what? We're close to 600, and we don't need to travel as much. Although what right now, you know, we're sitting in third overall, and we do have some big contests left, but we've got to win them. You know, we've got to win. I told my wife today, I said, we've got to win like three of these. This weekend we're going to Lincoln, Illinois. There's like 40. Right now there's 46. And then we do Murfreesboro, and then there's Arthur, Illinois. There's the Royal. And so, you know, if we pop a couple of these, then we got to start, you know, looking for bigger contests. I know that's what True Bud's doing. You know, they're looking for the 50-plus ones because Donnie Bray is real close to him.
He's but 3 points behind him.
Yeah, at this point, though, you scratch it. I mean, even if, like, I know, I think Tim Grant, I think he's throwing out a 275. So if he wins a maximum point, he's going to only get 25 points. So, I mean, we're just scratching for a few points here and there right now. I mean, I'm throwing out big numbers in all the categories, and we're throwing out 250 overall. So, at this point in the year, you're just looking for big contests and trying to, you know, scratch out a few more points. And I'm not saying we'll catch anybody because it's tough, and you know, they're still cooking too. So we're just going to try. And at some point, if it looks like there's no way we can do it, then we'll just take the rest of the year off. You know.
Yeah. Well, we cook our normal contests. We're not. I had one or two. They're not big ones, but I had a couple of them. To maybe pick up some points and maybe some categories, whatever. But it's, you know, we've got our normal fall that we do, and I told my wife, so I'm not going all over the damn place chasing points. I think we're sitting in ninth. So we've got some big ones coming up around here, so we'll see how we're doing those, and, you know, just keep plugging along. If I pick up a couple more of those, I'll be very happy. And, you know, we're just going to, I mean, for us being, this is our third year doing it, we've already exceeded our expectations from this. And, you know, we're just grateful that, you know, we've got what we got. And, you know, if we had to quit tomorrow, we'd be happy with what we've done so far. So, you know, we're just taking it one contest at a time. It does get a little bit more nervous at awards, though, with that Jack thing hanging over your head. But you know, we got a couple of decent draw states, and we'll go from there. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that like to see me win this weekend. I mean, Georgia and North Carolina,
like,
but also South Carolina.
Yeah, when somebody goes automatic, then that takes your name out of all these other states and helps. I mean, several times that because we won seven, you know, teams have then gotten in because, you know, we won our seventh, and it gave them an automatic. So, yeah, it's funny how it goes. And, you know, that the day of the draw last year, we had I think we only had four draw. We drew in from Wyoming, and you know, it was, you'd sit there, keep hitting the refresh button on Facebook and you know, the forums and everything to see, you know, who's posting what. And luckily, we drew in. Now this year, I don't have to worry about it. So, you know, it just, we'll be congratulating people as they get in. But it's a whole different matter when you're looking to get, see your name called. You know.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. Like I said, you know, we're going to try to get in on seven. We're going to go for it and see what happens. And, you know, we've got a contest. We won this contest 2 years ago, and we had, you know, a little known well guy out there, Tuffy, was up there cooking it, and I clipped him at the end, and that was a tough contest. But, you know,
he doesn't cook a lot now.
No, he was cooking a lot that year. He had not had a grand, and he was needing one for the jack before he went into it. And I got him at the end, and I tell you what, I think he was more happy I won it than if he would have won it, because that was my first grand ever. And I'd met Tuffy a few other times and stuff, so we were kind of by ourselves down there at the very I was waiting down in the end, so it was about a 300-yard walk to turn in. But, you know, it's kind of disheartening, though, when you go turn your chicken and Tuffy's almost all the way back to his site. You're like, how late am I? But, now he was turning his stuff in early until we got the brisket. But,
he's
a great guy.
I'll tell you what, he's fast because, I'll tell you, he always turns his brisket in at the last minute. And I don't know how many times I've seen him run and, I mean, just chug it up. And he's pretty fast. I don't know how old he is anymore. He's got to be in his 40s. But he still runs pretty fast. And, you know, he'll just run that. He'll just wait till the last minute. He'll be messing with that brisket, and he'll just run it in there. And he's always pretty close. And we were there one time when he didn't quite make it down in Lakeland, Florida. And his dad was even yelling at him. He was, you know, he's just trying to get one more slice of brisket in to make the box look better. I think that's what he said. And he missed it by about 3-4 seconds. But and that cost him because he would have won grand, I believe. So
I
think he learned his lesson.
He was right there. He was I kind of left a bit of taste in his mouth and everything. So I know he hadn't done it since, but I think like you said, he's a little more careful about doing his own thing. So, but it's we've got some new rule changes coming up. I know you're on the rules committee. Even though you don't set the rules, you have a part kind of a kind of a consulting type part in it stuff. And I know the board, you know, does the final things on the rules. And I know we talked about this one other time, and I've had some other people talk to me about it. I know a few of them are listening. We were talking about the pork rule. The changes come up for the pork butt. What has anything new transpired from that, how's it going to be kind of worded?
In the beginning of the year, they changed it, and basically they defined what pork is. And they said, I think they still had a weight limit on it at the time. And then there was a lot of people say, well, you know, somebody's going to be turning in. You could realistically, from the boneless end of the butt, you could cut like country ribs, you know, and grill them off. And so a lot of people were concerned it would be a grilling contest. So they came back and to the rules committee. And we just discuss stuff back and forth. And then finally we come to a consensus, and Jeff Stiff, I think this year, is the head of the rules committee, and he'll go to the board and he'll say, this is what we came up with, and then the board votes on it. So then here about a couple months ago, they wanted to refine the rule a little bit, and so there's no weight limit or anything. And basically what it says is after, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, but basically after you trim it, you must cook it whole. Now, they're not defining what cooking is. You don't have to go to a certain temperature, but you need to, you know, cook it somewhat. Then you can part it out, take your money muscle off. If you're cooking a picnic, you can take the cushion muscle out. And there's some other muscles. There's that horn muscle on a butt.
Right.
Now, one of the things I suggested, I said, because you know, the other three categories you're allowed to trim, and that's the one thing I said, because first it was just going to be you got to cook it whole, and then you can part it out after you've cooked it to some level. And I said, well, you know, you got to be able to trim stuff. So we added after trimming. And I also suggested to them, I hope they do this, is there's going to be a lot of questions in 2014. So the reps, at in the cook's meetings at the first part of the year especially, they're going to have a lot of questions. I said, what you need to explain to them now is if you trim this up, whatever you trim off of it ain't going in the box. Because, you know, I know what some people want to do. They'll want to cut the money muscle off right away or cut the butt in half and cook one half to pull and one half to slice. And that's not what the intention of the rule is. The intention is you can trim it up and then you cook it and then when it gets close to being done, you cut the money muscle off, set it aside, and then you know, put it back on to keep it warm or whatever back on the grill. But what we don't want people doing is cutting it in half and then cooking one half. So you trim it up, and I think what I suggest, and I hope they say this, is whatever you trim off doesn't go in the box. Either goes in the garbage or goes home with you, and you can make sausage out of it or cook it up at home. But to prevent that, but I think there's going to be a learning curve, you know, and there's going to be a lot of questions, and there's going to be a lot of people come up with some new ideas that we haven't thought of. You know, I've thought of, you know, one time with the rule before it got changed, I was thinking you could do pig candy. You take that false cap off of a butt, you know, it's got a layer of meat in there, and we actually made it a couple times, and I didn't get the technique down exactly right, but it came out pretty good. It was edible and tasted real good. You could put some sauce on it, so, but, you know, I'm not sure you'll be able to do that because that you know you're not supposed to part it out while it's raw. You just can trim
right.
it. So if you trim that off, you couldn't go back and then, you know, cook it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to govern too. Like if like put on there, well, the meat has that you part off has got to be, you know, cooked to 180 degrees or whatever. You know,
there's no temp limit. Yeah.
You know,
so
that,
I don't know. Some people are saying,
hard.
Well, some people are saying, well, I'm just going to throw it on there and cook it for a little while. And it's really hard to police. And, you know, part of the reason was some of the board members said, well, you know, I'm not a board member. I don't have a vote or anything. I just know what some of the arguments were on both sides. And they said, well, why are we treating pork different? Because chicken, you can part it however you want. You know, you can part brisket. You can take the flat and the whole apart or, you know, the point. And ribs, technically, if you wanted to cook each rib individually, you could. There's no rule against it. Nobody would do it. But, you know, and so that was one of the arguments. And they said, why are we treating pork different? And then, you know, then the other argument is, well, pork is a little bit different because there are muscles you can pull out individually. And you could, you know, like there's some of that muscle, so especially the money muscle, you can grill that off individually real hot and fast, and it turns out really good. So it is a little bit different, but so – I see it from both points, and I mean, I'm not going to take sides here. I don't have a vote in it, but, you know, whatever the rules are, I'll adapt to it. So that's we're looking forward to it, and we're going to try some new stuff. And the other thing is, you know, here in Illinois, we've got some of our meat stores. They sell it's a boneless pork butt. When the butts start to get a little bit older, they just cut them up. They cut the front half off, and they call it a boneless, pork butt. They only weigh about 4 pounds, so technically that should be legal. We don't have a weight limit anymore. So if you go buy a little 4-pound pork butt and usually it's the money muscle end, the boneless end, you should be able to cook that. I mean, sometimes you can buy them for $9. Shit, for $30, I can get three of them.
So there's not a weight limit on butts anymore?
Nope, there's no weight limit as far as I know. I mean, I've seen the new rule, and there's no weight limit, and there's no temperature limit on what cooking is. They don't really define that. Now, they may define what cooking means because you have to cook it to some degree before you part it, but they don't say what that is. So I imagine they'll give you some more guidance at the cook's meeting, but the weight limit is off. There's no longer a 5-pound minimum rule.
Well,
what
would stop people from separating it now anyway then? What's turning the pork butt? I mean, you know.
Well,
because
it says after trimming it must be cooked whole. So, if you bought a 4-pounder, you're cooking it whole. You could trim it up a little bit. I mean, you know, we all know what trimming means. It doesn't mean taking a 10-pound pork butt and cutting it in half. I mean, it could, but what I'm saying, whatever you trim off of it shouldn't go back on the cooker then. And I think they're going to get some guidance on that. But if you start it with like a 4-pound boneless butt, and it says so on the package, you should be able to cook it. You start with a 10-pounder, and you want to cut it down to 4 pounds, well, the other 6 pounds shouldn't go back on the grill. That's the way I'm understanding it. Now, I'm not the final say-so on that. And the board may go back and refine it, although I think it's too late to do that. I think the rule, the way it states, it says after trimming, pork shall be cooked whole, and after cooking, and they don't really define cooking, and they try well at the cook's meeting next year, you may part it and put it, you know, put the portion that's been parted back on.
Right.
And
we,
so that's basically it.
Around here, we've got people to push the envelope. Rub's on the other line, by the way. Rub, you're on the air.
Yes.
But I know some people that how you doing, Rub? Sorry about that.
Okay.
Great to have you on the show. We got Mike from QL. Y'all are big buds. So
how you doing,
Rob? Talk about the sport, but
good. How are you doing?
Good.
My thing is though, Mike is you know, you got people who want to bend the rules to the nth degree. So if the 5 pound rule is off, and say you cut that butt right behind that bone area, and that's your trim butt, whether it be 2, 3, or 4 pounds, that's your trim butt. All right, well, you don't stick that half on, but you take another butt and you cut the money muscle off, and you put that butt on, even though it doesn't have a money muscle. Is that legal under these? I know it's stretching it to the nth degree.
Yeah, I think you figured out that there's a little loophole there.
And, exactly.
That's people have asked me that, I don't know the answer, Jim. I truly don't, especially because we don't, you know, when I started this thing 2 years ago with the Rules Committee, you know, I always have been for just leaving the pork world the way it was. And but like I said, I don't want to run for the board or anything, so, you know, it's not up to me to decide this, and the board has decided this, and I know exactly what you're saying. And one of my suggestions was, you know, pork, because it's a little bit different, I said, why don't we make them bring in pork in the original package and get it inspected and then let them do whatever they want. That way, at least we know they're starting out with the correct piece of meat. And
right.
That way, you know, we would know. If you had 2 pork butts, you could absolutely do that. But what we don't want you to do is bring in one and cut it in half.
Right.
It's what you know. I know that's kind of what you're getting around there. But or you could buy 2, cut each one in half, and then use the other half. Well, you could just do. I would think the better thing to do would be cut the money muscle end off of both of them and cook those, because that's where the better meat is, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
but there's going to be some loophole. Yeah,
you got people just stretching the nth degree.
Yeah,
but now Mike, you. Go ahead,
bro. Y'all didn't ask my opinion, but I'm going to get to you if I can shoot it in here.
Well, you better jump in, because let's hear it from a Florida standpoint.
Well, here, and this isn't Florida so much as it's just, you know, look back at the original intention of KCBS and FBA. It was to get together and cook traditional barbecue and see who could cook the best. Now, I bet you $100 nobody in the founding members of either board or either group was thinking, you know what, let's go ahead and dice up this pork butt and see who can get tricky with it and grill off something. I mean, it was, I bet you it was about cooking a big old chunk of meat that was undesirable to the masses and turn it into something really great. You know, my opinion of the whole thing is leave it as is. Once you cook it, you part it out, but you can't put anything back on the grill. I've never put anything back on the grill. You know, cook it, box it, present it. As long as everybody has the same rule, it's fair to everybody, and you don't get away from the general intention of the society.
Well, I agree, Rob. You know, I was against changing the rule. But the fact is, the rule is changed, we're trying to figure out how to do it so there's not a lot of cheating going on. Originally, that rule was put in there, the 5 pound rule, because people, you know, when I was talking to Jim about the CT butts, which is you can buy like a 3 or 4 pound boneless butt, which is just a money muscle in, people were doing that, and they were grilling them off and slicing them. And then KCBS back. And I don't know what year it was, but it was back sometime like 98 or something. And they put this rule in just for exactly what you said. They said that's not traditional barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they didn't want people grilling off these things and making medallions out of them. You know, there's no problem with slice, but when you grill off one of these little money muscles that weighs 3 or 4 pounds, you can do it about an hour and a half. You could grill the whole thing off and slice it into medallions. And so that's when they added the rule, the 5 pound rule minimum. And it's my understanding, and so now we're changing that. you know, from what it was. And the board may end up regretting it and change it back, but that's what we're stuck with for 2014.
Yeah.
Well, see,
I understand that it's in place. Go ahead, Jim. Oh, I was just going to say, I understand that it's been changed. I don't like it, but it is what it is. And, you know, like mm-hmm. you, I'll try to adapt and do whatever it takes to still be competitive, but I'm not happy about it. I wish it would go back and go back to what was most likely the original intention of the founders. That's all I've got to say about it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams like that, too. See, if I want to get, you know, my horn meat or whatever, for pulled or whatever, I cook full butt. You know, we have a sandwich shop. I'll take it back and serve it there or whatever. You know, but we cook full butt. So, you know, we don't have any trouble with the way it is now. So, I mean, I agree with you guys. I think it needs to be changed back.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to have some people cut, they're going to cook the pork butt for a little bit, cut the money muscle off, shape it up nice and round. And because it's been cooked a little bit, what's to stop you from cooling it down in a refrigerator or an ice chest, slicing the medallions, and then grilling those medallions?
Sure, nothing.
I don't see anything in the new rule that would stop you from doing that. Now, it may be because, you know, I've never done it. We've had old pork butts, and I've just cut them up and tied them up and then, you know, cooked them real hot and then sliced them. And they turned out damn good. We did it one time down a couple years ago in Springfield, Missouri on a Friday night just to see how they would taste. And I thought they were very impressive. But I've never actually taken one and cut it into medallions and then grilled those medallions. But if you can cook the whole little muscle, you know, real hot and fast and then slice it and they're good, I don't see why the medallions wouldn't be good if you did that. And somebody's going to do it, and I don't see how it would be against the rules. So we just got to see. I think there's going to be a lot of different presentations, a lot of different things. You know, the other thing you're not going to see anymore, I know Diva showed it on one of her shows where she cuts the money muscle and it's hanging by just a little, you know, half inch of meat, and then she ties it up round and she cooks that butt just for that. And you won't need to do that anymore, basically.
Yeah. I think we're liable to get into a situation where you're not comparing apples and apples anymore in the turn-in boxes, and that's
you're exactly right. You're exactly
right. Yeah. So, like I said, we all know several teams out there, and especially new ones and stuff that come out. They're going to try to think so-called outside the box, and you know, they're going to be stretching it, like I said, to the nth degree. And you know, as all of a sudden, I'm kind of relatively newcomer to this, but I kind of like, you know, like you said, the traditional style barbecue. You know, I like to see one big hunk of meat go on there and all that. If you want to separate the point from flat, do it after you cook it or whatever. You know, I'm all for that, you know. But I don't know. I'm in the same boat, y'all. I like to see it the same way it is and go from there. And who knows? It's going to be I think it's going to be a cluster next year as far as this.
I think also you might end up with somebody that puts the butt on for a while, cooks it, and then cuts the boneless end off, and then you could get six pretty nice long rectangular pieces of meat that are basically like a country-style rib. You know, country-style ribs are illegal in the rib category, but they won't be in the pork category.
That's right.
You know, if you're cutting them from the proper cut of meat. I mean, it just depends on what you want. I could see somebody putting slices, these country-style ribs that are cut from a butt, and then pulled all in the same box, pulled in. You have three or four different cuts of meat in there. And, you know, you may get to where the judges like that and start to expect it. And you know, what I'm afraid of is it's going to change the whole, and I think Rub touched on this, it's going to change the whole nature of pork.
Yeah, the whole dynamics of it.
If somebody starts winning with doing this, and, you know, there's no secrets in barbecue for the most part, because the judges say, well, gosh, we got this guy put in they looked like country style ribs, and they were fantastic. We gave them all nines, and it's like, oh, hey, the floodgates are open. Everybody's going to be doing that.
Well, you got so many teams judging too. You know, they're going to pick up on it. They're going to see what they like, and which I'm not a big fan of. And you know, we're very well known for not liking the idea of teams judging one weekend and cooking the next. I like a little leadway in there, a little buffer area in there. If you're going to judge, judge. If you're going to cook, cook. You know, there's plenty of judges out that complain so they can't get into contests because they're flooded with judges, and, you know, a lot of them are cook teams. And my thing is, you know, I kind of want to sit there and, you know, if we come up with a new design or whatever on our plate or whatever, I don't want the whole world to know what we did. You know, I want to see how it hits.
Hey, that's part of playing the game, man.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know,
that's part of playing the game. I
it
like
is
it
what it
cook
is.
Teams judge.
Well, the thing I see cook teams a lot of times is they're using lower scores because they're like, well, this isn't as good as mine. So I'm going to score it down. They're going to compare it to theirs. And that's another reason why I don't like cook teams.
I hear you. That's sometimes those are the worst judges.
Yeah, I mean, that's my opinion. You talk to a lot of the reps, and, you know, you get some people bitch about the scores, and the first thing they'll tell you is, you know, well, a lot of you cook teams are the ones, a lot of the cook teams are the ones that score you lower. So, I know it isn't true in all of them, because we've got some good friends of ours that judge, and they do a good job judging, and, you know, they're very, you know, fair on how they do it and everything. They don't compare it to theirs, but I do know some that do, and, you know, I just... Yeah, welcome to that world, but, you know, it's everybody knows our opinion on that. So, but, Rob, I do want to congratulate you. Not only did you win your number 6 and get number 7, you kicked our butts up there in Franklin, North Carolina. I don't know what you did, but, and, you know, I want to congratulate your wife on a 3rd place. Banana pudding, you know, if you'd put it in something different, she could have won first.
I was sure to pass that on.
Did you hear that story, Mike?
No.
Rub was running behind all weekend. He was doing the tourist thing up there in Franklin, North Carolina. He had like, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes. He had to run up to the top of the mountain, get his wife's banana pudding for the dessert. Haul us back down. He said, honey, I only broke 17 laws. Vehicle laws, getting back down to this contest, turning your thing in. She handed it into it like an old casserole dish. He said, I didn't tell her, but the stuff was bouncing all over the place, falling over and all this other stuff. And he said, hell, I turned it in that. And, you know, he just about ran the table up there, won, you know, $1 gazillion, and she would have won 150 if she won first. And she's over to just give him hell about what he turned the banana pudding in. I'm like, and Rose is over to just like, taking a beating from her, and I had to laugh. I said, he just won like $5,000, and you're just giving me crap about, you know, a dessert turn-in? Really? I said, if it was me, I'd give her $300 just to shut the hell up.
Yeah. Well, I cooked Franklin in 1 year, and it's a nice contest, nice area there.
It is. We love getting up there and doing the family vacation. That's always the last contest before we go back to school, so it's our last big hurrah, and we really enjoy that area.
Yeah. Last time I was there, I think they were pulling some of the guys over, the DOT was, and giving them a violations, you know, because their trucks were too big and all that crap. So,
they were harassing that crap. I talked to Steve. He's a retired state patrolman. He called somebody up there, and they put an end to that. They said, no, that ain't going to happen. Cause, you know, they were trying to get them for every little minor detail and all those stuff. It was borderline harassment. So they kind of did away with that. But I wasn't cutting on your wife's nothing, bro. She's great. And, I mean, I just caught that conversation when I came up and talked. We just had a laugh, but. I did want you to know, though, you know, with Jan driving my truck and me driving your truck, she has never, ever, ever, ever given up drinking on Saturday night to celebrate for somebody. So you're the first.
How about that?
So she could drive everybody to and from the restaurant safely. So you're the first. I just want to let you know. She must really like you for some unknown reason. I don't know why, but... but she did that just for you, so everybody could go and eat. And now we had fun at the restaurant at the Cafe Rail. That dude up there is a trip. We all had a good time that weekend. And And but now I just want to congratulate you again on getting number 7. Hopefully I'll get mine this weekend, which I'll be up at the Jack and have an old number 7 while we're up there. Now, Rob, where are you cooking at next?
I'm not positive. It might be, I think probably going to be the FBA Fun Cook at the end of the month. I was going to run up to Amelia Island, but I wasn't going to get there until about 7 o'clock at night. So I'm thinking I'm going to stay home and miss that one.
Yeah. Since you already got in the jet, you got to relax a little bit, right?
Well, not really relaxed, but I don't have to chase. So that's,
yeah.
I mean, I still need to be cooking a bunch. You don't want to sit around leading up to it at all. Get rusty doing that.
Now, you are going to, from what I hear, I may be starting or whatever, but you're going to start a new TV program, like another competitive series out there. It's called Meatloaf Masters. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, son of a bitch. I will be your host. First guest will be Lene Oxley. She'll be cooking and showing her winning recipe. Jeez. That sucks.
A long way to drive to cook meatloaf, Rob.
Oh, no kidding.
I could not believe that. I'm like, meatloaf, really? Y'all could come up with something different? Why not mutton? I mean, something. I mean, good Lord, meatloaf. Oh,
well, I hope you deferred to your wife. I'm sure most wives know how to make meatloaf. Mine does, because I would have no idea. She'd have to tell me what to do.
No, I do most of the cooking at home. But, you know, they edit those a bunch. And I'm not making any mistake or excuses, because I got beef flat out. You know, that's the way it is. But those three packages of meat, we started off grinding ours and in the coarse grind. And it had so much gristle and silver skin and sinewy stuff. It was jamming up our meat grinder. We had to totally take it apart, clean it out, put it back together, and it jammed up again. So I got to the point where I had to start cleaning each one of those little nuggets and getting the crap out of it before we could grind it. And that took up all my time. I had always planned on doing 2 grinds, but it got to be about a minute or about an hour and 45 minutes before turn-in, and I hadn't even put a meatloaf in the smoker yet. So it's like, I had to call an audible and say, we're just going to go with the coarse grind and get it in the cooker so, you know, we make sure we get it done. So,
well,
you know, it wasn't... What's that?
They give you all this prime meat to work with. Why not prime meat on that?
Yeah, it wasn't even my bags anyway. They weren't nice, clean chunks of meat. It was like scraps. That, you know, after you and I trim up our meats, we'd throw them away. And I'm like, holy smokes, this is miserable. But it is what it is, and whatever. I still have a blast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing was, I had Rob DeRoyle on here before, and I asked him, I said, was that something that you'd do again? He said, yeah. He said, I'd do it again. He said, I don't know if I'd do it 3 times, but he said, I'd like to get another, you know, I don't know if you feel the same way. He said, I'd like to get another shot at it and show, you know, what we can really do and everything. He said, getting used to the TV cameras and the crews and all that stuff. He says, well, in the beginning it was a little overwhelming, but he said, you know, the crews were really good that worked with them. And he's friends with a lot of them now. And, you know, he said they made it a little easier, but he said it's still a little intimidating with cameras rolling all the time.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for the most part, they give you plenty of room. But in our second one, our guy, he really liked the close-up shots where the lens is about 3 inches from your nose. I'm like, come on, man. You're killing me here. Are you trying to look inside my pores or something?
Really? You don't have a telescopic lens on that? I mean, you can zoom in. You have to be right there. You got to turn blinkers on so you don't hit the camera.
Yeah.
But Mike, are you going to try to get on Barbecue Pit Masters anytime?
You know, we did back in 2006. We did the Barbecue All Stars out in Reno, and John Marcus was the producer out there. And there was 9 1-hour episodes shot. Now, the reason a lot of you didn't see that is it aired on the what the hell's that channel? Versus Network. And anyway, there was 18 of us that started, and Dr. Barbecue was in it, Mike Davis, Johnny Triggs, Joe Davis in Oklahoma Joe, Bart Clark. I'm trying to think. There's some chefs. Oh, Adam Perry Lang was in it. And what was different about this one, it was actually the second time they'd ever done it. The first year they kind of went to contest. And this one, we shot the whole thing right in the alley behind John, Gold Nugget, right in the alley behind there. Now, what was really interesting about that, and it's the only season they did this, we did three categories. We did a long cook, a slow cook, or a medium cook, and then a fast cook. And the fast cook, they would bring us out, and they had a big 500-gallon fish tank. And whatever was in there was alive, and we had to kill it. And it was different. I got trout, which trout was easy to, and we won our first round. Johnny Triggs and then some firemen from New York won the first round. We won that, and we made it to the semifinals, and we ended up second behind Mike Davis, and he went to the finals and won. But the funniest one, Byron Chisholm, you know, Butt Rub, him and James Britt. James Britt, that I don't know if James is even around anymore, but you know, he was in that one, and then can't think of the third person. No, but they had live bullfrogs, big old frogs. Now Byron is a chef, and he's cooked frog legs before, but he had never had to kill a frog. And James Britt, it was Adam Perry Lang was the third one. Well, James Britt just took the back legs, and he took that bullfrog and just whacked its head on the table. And then Adam Perry Lang took a knife and then went right down, you know, lengthwise in the head. And Byron had no idea what to do. Now, we got an audience there with Jumbotron, you know, television. They're sitting there, all these people, because that's when that big Reno rib burn is. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people there. Byron takes and he lays the frog out, and he goes perpendicular to its body. And he just, like he's cutting the head off. And I'll tell you, he goes down through there, and they got the cameras on him, and blood starts coming out of the frog's mouth. People were getting up out of the stands and leaping because they got it on the Jumbotron. And,
that's good TV.
we were laughing our asses off. It was so funny. But because we weren't in that episode. But Byron, it was really bothered him a lot. And we had a good time out there, and we enjoyed it. But I'll tell you this, you know, now this last season where they're actually doing barbecue, I wouldn't mind doing that. We haven't applied for it or anything. When they were doing that, where they were cooking, they were doing salads and potato salad, you know, that stuff didn't really interest me. That's not really barbecue. And Now they've gotten away from that. So I like it a little bit more. But last time I talked to John Marcus, I said, you know, I really wouldn't mind, you know, judging, you know, one or two of these things. So, you know, I'm getting to where I would rather, I just like cooking, you know, competition. And so we've never really applied for it. And actually, I just put in to try to judge the finals at the World Food Championship if they'll let me. You know, I think they, you know, instead of having three chefs do it, I think they should have somebody. Because, my God, I've cooked most of this stuff. You know, we've won chili contests, steak cook-offs, side dishes, desserts, appetizer and stuff like that, and you know, I've judged a lot of that stuff too. We've had the opportunity to judge stuff, so I wouldn't mind judging it, because we're going to be out there, you know, when that, you know, that WFC thing, we're gonna, I think, right. We're doing Laughlin, we're gonna cook it, and then I wasn't planning on doing the World Food thing this year, even if we get invited to cook, but I wouldn't mind judging it. I just want to go out there and spend a week relaxing.
Well, that's a good thing, you know, to get somebody restful to judge, because, I mean, you got these chefs that, you know, like, they were giving David hell on his burn ends, and I don't know if it's Tim Love or who, but he said, these are not burn ends, they're not burned enough, and, you know, Byron's over to look at him like, you're a freaking idiot. You don't know what they'll burn ends. Burn ends, it doesn't mean they have to be charcoal black all the way around, you know, and he's looking at Tim Love like he's an idiot, and David was telling me about it, and he said, man, I called hell for that and didn't win, probably because of his one thing. And he said, you know, he'd go back and cook it again. I said, I wouldn't blame you either. You won a good bit of money out there. But, you know, for us to go out there, and I don't know if Rub will go if he gets a chance, but it's just too far and too much money for us to go out there to take a chance on that, you know, coming all over here from the East Coast. It's too much time off work and wrong time of year, and it's just it's tough for somebody like us to go out there.
Well, we got in in November. You got to go to the mountains somewhere, and we came back over Flagstaff, and it was a damn blizzard. And that's the last thing I want to be doing is driving in a blizzard on top of a mountain pulling a trailer. So that is a wrong time of year. It'd be nice if they had it down around, MMA that puts it on there. They're out of Cookeville, I think, Tennessee. That'd be a nicer place to have it. A little more centrally located.
Something more towards the middle of the country, not all the way over on the East Coast, not all the way on the West Coast,
Yeah.
Hell, even Nashville, the music city, or, somewhere.
Yeah.
But I know Kansas City gets a lot of contests around there, and I don't think I'd like to see it over there with the American Royale, but somewhere like Nashville or something like that would be great, St.
Well,
Louis, somewhere.
I know Rub's done the Royal, and I think everybody, if you get the opportunity, should do it at least once. And, we've done it, I think this will be our seventh year. There was a lot of times we get invited and we didn't go, but a lot of it depends on where your spot is. I mean, there was a few years we had these really crappy spots, and we didn't want to go back because of the spot. So now we got a really good spot, and we got Johnny Trigg on one side of us.
Rod Gray's
Myron's across from us, and then we got Tuffy and Chris Lilly just up from us about two. And so it's a real quiet spot. We don't have any big parties or anything. And what was funny last year, so many people that see Pitmasters, they come down there, and this guy looks at us. He goes, man, he goes, how did you guys get so lucky to be in the midst of all these Pitmasters? And we just laugh. We go, oh, we just got lucky.
Beginner's luck.
Beginner's luck. He ended up right here.
Tim's true, but I talked to him about that. He goes out there and he was telling me, he goes, yeah, he said, we used to go to American Royale for all the wrong reasons. That's why he said, well, we didn't really cook barbecue. He said, you ever hear anybody talk about the dark side and all that? I said, yeah, he says, we were the dark side. He said, we were the ones that would hire the bands. We won, Fan of the Year 2 years in a row and all this other stuff. He said, we won that. He said, we were proud of it. So he said, we started to get a little older, and he said, it's time to go to the other side. He said, when you talk about the dark side, he said, we set a standard there for 2 years. He said, it was wild. But he said the same thing. Everybody needs to go at least once. And we're not going to go this year. We might try to go next year or something. We got our invite and everything. And but I don't know if we're going to make it or not. But we got another caller, 270-782.
Yeah. This is Donnie Bray. I'm just going to call in and say hi.
Oh, hey, Donnie, how you doing? I was trying to find your number on my sheet. I didn't have you, but you're in my phone. You're not on my sheet, so I couldn't switch over.
Okay.
Hey, no
big
deal. For a while.
How are you doing, Donnie?
I'm doing really good.
I was hoping he could stop cooking for a few weeks so give me a chance to catch up.
you're coming through the crowd plenty fast. You'll be right there.
I'm down almost 100 points or something on you guys. That's a lot this time of year, because the most I can get in any one contest is about 45, 50 points. So it's going to take me about three contests just to catch up with you guys. That's winning three of them. So I don't know. If you and True Bud would just quit for about a month, that would be pretty easy on me then.
I got lucky with my last three contests and gaining up some points, or I was right where you was. So I just did it, so I feel very confident you'll be able to do it.
Well, I hope so. Thanks.
Yeah, Donnie's over to I saw him up and deal it. He goes, now it's just baby steps. And I looked at this way, he's like 3 points behind True Bud. I said, boy, you're like a little chihuahua nipping at the ankles, buddy.
I guess it didn't dawn on me until coming home Saturday that I'd seen that there was a double that could be played there, and sure enough, he played it. It's hard to get a double if you're living in Kentucky.
Usually a double's a double shot, right?
Yeah, it's hard to do a Friday, Saturday, and a Saturday, Sunday around here.
We got one in Georgia, but it's 5.5 hours away, and everybody's asking, are you going to do the double? I'm like, I'm not into that. I'm sorry. It wasn't enough.
Donnie, are you doing the Jim Beam then instead of the Royal?
Yes. I've just become really good friends with Ralph up there, and You know, I even paid to go to the Royal last year, sent everything in. One of my buddies was going. He said, let's hook up and go. And I paid up, and when it come time, it was like I just can't pull out. So until I get tired of that little contest here about 50 miles away from my house, I probably won't do the Royal. And I haven't experienced it yet, and I know I need to, but
yeah.
It's hard for me to give that up.
Yeah, we cooked it the first year they had it. I enjoyed it. And then, it's just one of the things where it's the same weekend as the Royal, and we always make that decision. So, we end up going to the Royal. I wish they would move it, but I know that's the week they want to have it because they have some kind of festival downtown. So, anyway, good luck there. And I know my friends Anil Serve, Mike and Don, are going there this year.
Yeah.
And so you'll have some good competition, especially with Moonswiners. And they're always tough, and they don't hardly cook.
Yeah, he doesn't forget anything. He can set out 6 or 8 weeks, and it don't bother him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a photographic memory.
Absolutely.
But, it's also that the money that they put up for that Jim Beam thing, I won that last year, and I was going to the Royal, and somebody called and said, hey, if you just get any points at all, you'll probably win that, and it was $3,000. So it was sort of a toss-up to go spend $3,000 or maybe have a chance of winning it, and I think I pulled off a fifth-place finish, but it was enough for the points for that. So, and Moonswiners won the contest, and I won the Jim Beam points thing, and so it's hard to go. Now I'm second, but I'm pretty far out with second as far as these Kentucky points are going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is probably a first that we've ever had on the show. Is we got all three of y'all are going to the Jack Daniels. Y'all got any inputs on that for those of us sitting right on the outside? Now, I will say something. Scott Smith from Cuban Stone Brewing, my pit builder from Southern Q Smokers, he got his 6-1 in Fulton, Mississippi this weekend. And so now there's two teams from Georgia sitting on 6, KCBS event. I think we figured there has been no other Georgia team that's made it on 7 KCBS Grand Championships. Myron's made it on a few Floridas mixed in with his KCBS and stuff, but he's made it on 7, but they had a couple Floridas in there. We were going to try to be the first ones to do it, but now I got Scott. He's heading to Kennesaw, which he's strong at. I'm going to Greer, which I had been strong at. So what's the deal? I know everybody loves the Jack and everything, and that's one of our biggest goals. We didn't think we'd be there anywhere near it this year. And we'll probably have some more talkings on this. What do y'all think of the Jack? I mean, each one of y'all take a turn. What y'all think it is? I mean, how it relates into what you cook. I mean, is it like a big celebrity? I'll take
Rob
first.
Rob, you go first.
Me?
Yeah, go first.
I tell you, for me, when I first started cooking about 10 years ago, I remember reading on different forums and watching everybody get excited about going to the Jack. And I didn't even know what it was at the time, and looked into it, and the world championships and all the best of the best and all that cool stuff. So I set it way up on a pedestal early on and made it a long-term goal to get there, and basically just put my head down and bowled through it until I did get there. And so it was kind of symbolized for me, reaching a goal, which, I've a pretty big goal. And I've never been real good at reaching big goals, so it was extra special for me about, like that. And my take on the whole thing, there's a lot of celebrity judging and things like that. But I think at the heart of the whole thing, a genuine celebration of barbecue, and that's what is so cool and special about it to me. It's just a, if you've not been there, it's just a buzz and a feeling like I've never experienced before. That's kind of where how we feel about it.
I'll go. This will be our 9th year, and this is a very special year because it's the 25th anniversary. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but they're going to have a circle of champions. They're going to have the all the past champions they can get come back and cook. It's almost a separate contest. They're going to have master judges judging it. The only problem for us, and so far us and Pigskins, who are the last year's champion, we're the only two that are qualified for both events. And the turn-in is the exact same time, but they go to two different windows. So we've never done that. We've got to turn in eight boxes in the space that we normally turn in four. So we got our kids, our grown children going down there, and our daughter's going to run one box, and our son-in-law is going to run the other. And we're just, the problem is we got to cook twice as much. I think we can do it. I just hope that we don't have to, like, you know, put all our effort into one of the boxes and the other one just throw it together. But anyway, that's what's going to happen this year. Now, as far, you know, rub hit on the celebrity of it, you know, the year we won, you know, we cooked four really good categories. But I always tell everybody, I said, we hit three high-scoring tables. I said, you don't always do that. You don't get a lot. There's sometimes you'll cook four really good categories, and you're going to hit three low-scoring tables. You know, a lot of the judges are celebrities. They judge whiskey. They judge their food writers or their restaurant tours or everything. A lot of them have just got their class, their judges class, on the Thursday before the contest. So, you know, if you're going down there expecting it to be a real consistently judged contest, it's not. But the... as Rob said, it's the whole experience. I mean, it's one of our contests that we love going to. We get there on Wednesday. We have it's like a big party down there. We have a good time, and we look forward to going there every year. And the other thing is that since this is our ninth year, they have a deal where for your 10th year, if you've been there nine, all you have to do is win one qualifier. You don't have to go through any draws or anything. If you just win, they give you a freebie. So we're looking forward to doing that. Us and Parrothead are going to have that opportunity. So I told Parrothead we're both cooking Vermilion, South Dakota the first week in September. So that would be the first, you know, weekend for qualifying for the 2014. So both of us want to win that and just get that 10th year qualification out of the way. And that way we will be there for our 10th year. Now, the 11th year is going to be real tough because that goes back to either winning seven or going through the draws. But anyway, we're very fortunate to have gone that many years. And as far as I know, there's only been three teams do it so far, and that's Chris Hart from IQ, or now it's Heart Attack. Johnny Triggs has been there 10 years. And then Head Country out of Oklahoma, one of those teams has been there 10 years. So it's quite an honor to be able to, you know, say that we're going to be there probably 10 years here next year.
That's a heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome,
just to make it. Yeah, that's very awesome, especially in this day and age. Still kicking it like you are. I mean, that's up on your own pedestal right there, really, truthfully, buddy.
Well, the hell of it is, most of those years we were just pill pillars, as we call it. Three of the years we were top 10, and then the other, well, it's been 8 years so far. So 3 years we actually did something. You know, we're top 10, and then. 5 years of the eight that we've gone, we were just field fillers, and you know, there's a lot of people feel that way. But so I think we're getting shirts made up this year, and it's going to have each year we went, and it's going to say where we placed, unless we're, you know, like way down, then we just put field filler there, you know. So yeah, you got to have field fillers too, you know. You can't all win, so it's just a matter of who's going to be the winners this year and who's going to be the field filler. So we never know.
That's cool.
I want one of those T-shirts.
Well, okay. We're going to get a bunch of them made. We gotta get on that because that's coming up. I mean, we're almost in September now, so, yeah, we got to get on that.
Yeah. Donnie, how do you feel about the Jack, man?
You know, I'm lucky that I got a second chance as far as my – this will be my third year going, and obviously the first year of getting going in on an automatic. But the first year – I won the Nashville contest, which is the last one, and had to turn it in, and, you know, got drawn and really didn't know anything about who to call and didn't call anybody and set up and try to or have any friends, you know, to sort of guide you in the direction of where you you know, to get set up with the gentleman that parks you and all that. And when I got there, I was over in a baseball diamond with the backyards, and I was so pumped up of going. And I get over there, and everybody talk about the crowd and everything. I seen like three spectators. I was bummed out to the max. And I was, you know, all the hype about the Jack, and I was like, piss on the Jack. You know, I was just so mad that I didn't run my own boxer, so I didn't see anybody, nobody. You know, people come by and wanted to buy a sandwich for me, you know. They thought I was a vendor over there. And then the next year, I got drawn, and I got hooked up with Barry Johnson and also Dan Watson. And they said, you know, I tell them my story, and I'm crying like a baby. And they said, hey, we got this. You know, we'll get you in. And sure enough, I think it was the year that Johnny Trigg didn't go, so got in maybe like his old spot or, you know, along the creek there. And I was when we got set up and the people started coming in, I was just sitting there just in tears and at awe of how it was and how proud I was to be there with the caliber of people that was there. So then I didn't get drawn the next year. And this year to fight and get seven, I'm pretty pumped up about going. So I've been at an all-time low and all-time high, and I'm ready to get back and see where this year would be.
Well, if I screw up, get my seventh one this weekend, the first person I'm going to call is Mike, because, you know, he's been there so many years. He's got pull. So I'm going to give him a call and see what kind of pull he's got. I don't want to be on the baseball diamond, especially
well,
third base. So.
Yeah, that's where they're going to put us, the Circle of Champions, which I think, you know, there's been 23 past champions because Johnny doubled up one. You know, he doubled up. He's won it twice. So I'm imagining they're going to get about 18 or 19 of us back, maybe less, maybe more. But that's where they're going to put us in the ball diamond, and they're going to get us some generators. But they're going to have it set up so that the spectators can walk around and visit with us and everything. And I think, you know, we've never been on the ball diamond before. Normally, they had the backyard people over there. So I don't know. They must have thought Donnie, when he pulled in, he looked like backyard. And
I was a cross between vending and backyard.
Maybe this year you can sell some sandwiches, you know, make a few bucks for diesel.
Yeah, why didn't you sell a few? Yeah, you could have paid for your trip up there, Donnie.
I didn't have very many customers. It was a bad deal.
Well, yeah, you said only three of them came by. Two of them wanted a sandwich.
And they all had a funnel cake in their hand.
You know, you can't make that crap up. You know, that's... Yeah, well, guess what, Donnie? With all them fast champions down on the ball field, you're going to have to figure the spot then, ain't you?
Well, I'm hoping that Barry or, you know, somebody, you know, help me. I think it was just my fault. I know that there's a gentleman, and I'm sure that Mike had been there enough. He knows the gentleman's name that you call that does the spotting. And if you get hooked up with him in time and it was all my fault. I didn't know what to do and didn't do anything, and it was my fault.
Well, that's one of the things you don't know.
Jason is who you want to talk to. He's the one who puts people in the – see, our normal spot we can't go to because, you know, we got to be on the ball field. And I think Parrothead's going to get our spot and or maybe right next to it. But there's going to be some open spots. Like I say, Pigskin, they got to be over there. But, you know, realistically, there's not much. There's only, so far, only two of us that are doing it. We're hoping Scott Johnson, he just won Wyoming, so I think that's a 50-50. And he's a past champion, and then he would be the third one that's doing both. And but there's really, most of the past champions are not in the main event. Moonswiners, I think, are coming back. And I don't know, Donnie, do you know what kind of draw they have? They might have a good draw for, like, representing the Kentucky. You know, because you're an automatic and you're out of it now.
Yeah,
so
I took one out of Kentucky, one out of Indiana, in which he's got one in, I think he's got one in each of those now, and then I took five out of Tennessee.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, they do a draw at the end. Since you're an automatic, you don't count for this, but they want to make sure each state is represented. So I don't know how many people from Kentucky has won. Is anybody else besides Moonswiners won a contest out of Kentucky?
Yeah.
They're from Kentucky?
Yeah, Blue Chip, they're in there, and Moontwiners, and, you know, that might be it.
Yeah, see, that might be, if it comes down to it, that might be a 50-50 draw right there.
That's both other times that I went to the Jack, that's how I went, was, and both times with Dan Watson. Dan Watson got the Kentucky draw, and when they threw us back in the hat, I got pulled out for a hometown state. But,
yeah.
And this, it was the same guy that took it, and I was the same person that got back in.
Yeah. So Moonswiners very well could be in both of them again. So we'll have to see.
There's not very many of us here in Kentucky. We're scared.
That's right.
To
you know, Mike and Melinda Ford, do you remember them? Were you cooking when they were around?
I started in 2009.
Well, J-Mac, you would have.
J-Mac, yeah.
Yeah, they lived in Bardwell, and they used to put on a contest there in Bardwell, and they're kind of retired. They live down in Florida now, and but they were real good cooks. They won a bunch of contests, and, you know, they used to come and represent Kentucky all the time. Like you say, there's not a lot of teams. And then Moonswiners came on, and they represented Kentucky, but they're just not – for some reason, you know, it's a big barbecue state, but they just – I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people that compete out of there, so, yeah. So, strange deal.
It's hard to when Warren County takes all the championships. So, you know, it's kind of hard to get in from Kentucky.
you got to get it while the getting's good.
When we used to cook
right.
Kentucky, we saw a lot of those guys. They would have one of the big chimneys, and they would feed logs in there and burn it down to charcoal and then shovel the coals into their cookers. We saw that a lot down there, and I don't know if anybody does anymore, but that was always neat to watch. At night, they had about a 12-foot pipe on their log burners, and, man, it looked like a jet engine coming out of there at night.
So that's how they got the steel started.
Yeah, I've seen a few do that.
Yeah, that's how they get the steel started.
Yeah, I've seen it. There's a few teams that around Metropolis, Illinois, that contest still do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Rob, how many draws did you take out of the states? You took a lot out of Florida, didn't you?
I took 6 out of Florida.
I bet the Florida boys are happy, ain't they?
Yeah, opened it up a little bit. We got a lot of new GCs around here, so it's going to be exciting for a lot of people. I'm anxious to watch it. Yeah. See how it shakes out. It'll be fun to watch, for sure.
Well, I know people hoping me and Scott can get out of Georgia, because that'll be 4 for me out of Georgia, and that'll be probably 4 or 5 for him. If he wins Kennesaw, that'll be 4 or 5 for him out of Georgia. So that'll
you guys can really open it up for everybody.
Yeah, it will. So hopefully we can get up there and join y'all up there and see what it's all about. You know, Rod Gray put out something in the KCBS bullsheet 1 year about what you know, kind of fake in and everything, and you know, I think Mike had told me before on the other show, he said, you know, he's the first foremost, you need to take in some of the, you know, some of the sightseeing and stuff, do the tour of the distillery and all that, but he said your first objective is to compete. He said,
yeah.
You know, don't, you know, when you get your times and stuff that you normally do it, he said, if you're up on the hill or whatever, drinking or partying or whatever, or eating or whatever, and you got certain times. I think Mike told me this last time, you need to get your butt back there and cook.
Yeah.
And,
they take you up there in buses, and I'll tell you what, you can't always get back down when you want. We quit going. You know, there was 1 year or 2 years they had the hill, the party was on Thursday, so that wasn't a problem, but then they moved it back to Friday, so we just let our kids go up there. We don't go up there, and we concentrate on cooking because we've done all that stuff. But yeah, I'll tell you what's funny, and I Donnie and the Rub might run across this. There's teams that they get into the big events, whether it be a Sam's Club or whatever, and then they want to change stuff up. They go, well, you know, I'm in a big event, and I got to change. Like you see that on Pitman, they say, I'm going to use green peachwood. I want to impress Myron. You know, in a big event, you go with what got you there. You don't change stuff up. You go exactly with what got you there. You start changing stuff. And we saw this at Sam's Club. One of my friends, he good brisket cook. He won the qualifiers, the locals. He got to the regional, and he's decided he was going to dunk his brisket slices in sauce. And his brother-in-law was standing there going, what in the hell are you doing? He goes, well, that's what the judges want. I'm going to go with it. And he finished like 26. I mean, not ribs, but brisket. And, you know, he was capable of winning it. And so it's like, man, when you go to the big cons, don't change stuff. And I know there's people that do it. You know, they'll buy like a cut of meat there. You know, they'll order fancy pork or they'll order something, you know, real fancy, and or they'll try some new recipe. And it's like, hey, if you ain't ever cooked it, don't even mess with it.
Yeah, that's not the contest to be experimenting at.
I hadn't even changed my underwear since April.
Yeah, there you go. You know, my wife wears the same shirt every Saturday at a contest just so, because that's the lucky shirt, you know.
Well,
if I make it to the Jack, I'm going to be at the opposite end of the spectrum as Donnie. The flies are going to be unbearable up there.
Well, my wife washes your shirt in between, but yeah.
Well, see, I've got an old shirt that she's washing.
I'm going to get out of here. I'm sorry about butting in. I'm just going
to
say hi.
Oh, you're welcome to butt in anytime, Donnie. You're welcome on my show anytime. I don't care what Mike and Rub say.
Hey, Donnie, we'll see you. We'll see you down the road, man. Good luck.
Yeah, yes, sir. I'll be looking for you.
All right, Donnie.
Slow down on them
luck,
points
buddy.
A little bit.
What's that?
I said
see
slow
you,
down
Donnie.
On them points a little bit. Let me catch up.
Take a little vacation.
There again, I feel that you're going to have no problem. There's still a lot of year left, so I just run as hard as I can and hope you don't hit me too hard.
Oh, man, we got a bunch of them that don't pay points, though. You know, we got the Royal and the Sam's Club. And you know, there. Of course, you still have your regional, don't you, coming
yeah,
up?
Yeah, and Hendersonville.
Yeah, so there's a week there that maybe we can gain some points or something like that.
Oh, yeehaw, I'll be out there. I get to be out there with Donnie on that one. Yeehaw. Rub will be there, too.
Yep.
Mike, well, guys,
sure
I'll talk to y'all soon. I'm going to get out of here.
Bye. All right, Donnie. Thanks for calling
right,
in,
see
buddy.
You. All right. Bye.
See you, Donnie.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm kind of looking to the regional, but I'm not kind of looking at who's going to be there. it's going to be a shootout up there at Hendersonville.
Oh, yeah. We had a tough regional, too, and I was just glad to get out of there and you know, it all starts from everybody's on even keel when you get to Bentonville. Now, I found this out. You know, they try to get master judges for Bentonville. This year they're going to try to get master judges from different regions of the country. Because some of the guys from the Rocky Mountain area, they said, yeah, they're going to get like, you know, a few of us, a handful of us are going to all drive out there together, fly out or something. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, Rub. Not sure I want some of them like California judges coming out.
Hey, I would love to see a big scattering judges from all across the country. I mean, that's where the teams are coming from. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like what Mike said, it's kind of hard for an Eastern team to get on the table with a California judge. Since we don't put avocado on our stuff, we're probably going to get burned. So.
Well, hopefully it'll be the same for them with the Eastern and Southern judges. You know,
exactly.
So
I think spreading them out, I think, is a good thing. Just like Rob said, I'd like to see good spattering all the way across the country, a nice, even distribution of master judges. And it'd be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it'd literally be up for grabs, you know.
You know, it's going to be real interesting with both the Sam's Clubs, especially at the national level, and the Jack Daniels and the American Royal, things like that, is taking a look at the new KCBS score sheets and seeing, you know, the low scoring tables and you know, that's just going to really stick out contests like that, which, you know, it'll be interesting.
Well, three big contests.
Last year, Mike's, we were at the Sam's final last year. We weren't there the first year, but, you know, just from looking at our scores and other people's scores that, you know, would show them to us, they were fairly consistent. That was probably one of the most consistent contests we've been at. Now, that's probably not true at the Royal because, you know, the Royal itself, the Open, they have to get people off the street that are not certified just because there's 500 teams there. And Jack, of course, has some celebrity judges that were trained the day before. So my experience with the new score sheet is there's a lot of cussing afterwards when they get it. They go, damn, you know, it's always table three. God damn, I hit table three. That's the worst table there. You know, then Joe, who won the contest, he didn't get table three at all. You know, he missed it. So that's my experience with the new thing. And there's a, you know, a lot of, and you know, we've known all this crap along. We know there's bad tables, but now it's right there in black and white in front of you.
Yeah, you pray you don't get one, but then you look at it and you get a couple of them. You're like, damn it, how do I got to get away from this, you know? But, you know, and that goes through, you know, as y'all know, like I said before, if y'all have cooked for a few years and you know when your stuff's really good, when it's on and when it's not and everything, and then you get, you know, you get like fourth or fifth overall and you look at it and you tell, you know, you got a one or two bad tables. Yeah, you really got to be lucky a lot, you know, to that your food hits a decent table. It doesn't have to be the highest scoring table, but it hits a decent table and they you know, kind of scored appropriately. So, you know, there is a lot of luck involved in this, and of course, an ass load of skill and a buttload of money. But, you know, this just proves everything right there, you know, about there are low scoring tables. And I think more and more teams are seeing that.
Yeah, another thing I noticed, Jim, is if there's more like five or six tables, if teams see that some people's entries hit the same table twice, then they start griping. Hey, why is these entries hitting the same table twice? You know, and whether it's a good table or a bad table. And I think it puts the reps a little bit more on their toes, too, because realistically, if you have five, six, seven tables, there's no reason for an entry to hit the same table twice. And
exactly.
I think they have to be a little more careful about it.
And,
yeah,
you know,
that's one thing we're real fortunate with in the FBA. You know, we've had these score sheets since day one, and our reps make a huge point not to get you on the same table multiple times. I've only heard of it happening. I'm sure it's happened more, but I've only heard somebody talk of it one time out of thousands of contests. So it's a nice benefit when you don't get dropped on the same table.
Now, we've seen it a couple times already since the new scoring sheets have been out, where teams have hit the same table twice. And I always thought that the table captain had a list, and he just had to make sure that he or she had to make sure they just don't get the same box twice. And so I don't know how this is happening, but it's still happening, and maybe they're not being diligent enough or whatever. But I know first thing I hear from other teams is, you know, that shouldn't be happening. It'll be a good thing in the long run.
You know, we were talking about Greenwood before. You know, I know two teams up there that got put on the same table twice. There were 78 teams up there. You know, and that's something that should never happen, but, you know, it does. And, you know, and you know, when you get a contest that's like 30 teams, it's probably going to happen a little bit more likely, especially if there's only 25 teams. It's pretty much going to happen. But you know, once you get over that 36 team limit or whatever, there should be an issue with that. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they can only do so much. They're not going to sit there and hold boxes all day long and everything. But, you know, when you have 78 teams, I don't know if you could do it if you just stuck them all in at one time if they got on the same table, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty hard not to get them all on separate tables. But we had two teams up there that got on the same table twice. One of them was Mike Davis. He got on one, and the other one was a buddy of mine who brought it to my attention. And when you got 78 teams, you're just looking at, like, who you were with on your tables, where you were at on your tables, what your scores were. You weren't worried about the other 77 teams if they got put on the same table or not. So, but, yeah, it will happen, but. Like
well,
said,
and
this,
you know,
this has been going on in the FBA for a while.
And you need to point it out, the teams have no control over that. I mean, it's really the reps. That's their job. And I'm not saying, you know, the reps are derelict or anything, but, and you know, if you get a bunch of teams that turn in late, it is harder to do that because then you're trying to get them on the table before the stuff gets cold. But, you know, teams have no control. I mean, I have no control. Rub doesn't either. You turn your box in, you don't know where it's going. You're just hoping
exactly.
It gets on a table and they get the number. I don't know if FBA, if they change the number or not, but you're just hoping they change the number right and get it on a table before it gets cold, you know?
And it could have been a late entry. you know, it could be a late entry where they had no other option to put it on that table, I mean, which was fine. But
sure,
you know, up here at Banjo-Bacue, we were at 12:31 when we turned the ribs in, and they've been waiting on us for a minute or two. We were the last ones to turn in. I said, 12:31? They said, yeah. I'm like, damn. Well, I mean, we weren't 50 feet from the turn in. And, you know, just we were just picking through the ribs. We didn't, of course, we didn't like any of the ribs we picked. We got eight, but we didn't like any of the ribs we picked. And so that's why it took us a little bit longer. But, you know, I always, to me personally, I like to be right in the middle of the pack, you know. I like, I mean, sometimes I like to be a little early, but, you know, I usually give my runner plenty of time to turn in. So, you know, but I didn't know we were that late. They're like, we've been waiting on you. My wife's like, it's only 12:31. So, but anyway.
We've tried everything. Turn in early, turn in middle, turn in late. I don't know if there's an advantage to any one of them.
I don't think there is. I don't know how Rob feels about it.
I do know if you turn in early, you got more time in case you screw something up.
Yeah. I just like turning in on time.
So that's the way I look at it. As long as I get it on time, it, you know, I might get one early and one late, one a little bit later, whatever. But you know, I strive to be right on that middle time. And like I said, sometimes you get a little antsy or whatever. You know, the chicken gets done just a hair earlier or whatever. But I like now if I'm cooking by myself, if I don't get that chicken in early, that just screws my whole timing up. You know, I got to get that in there. So I'm done with that one. I concentrate on the other one. It's like, if I get that out of the way, I'm good.
Let me ask you guys, what category, pork takes me the longest to box up. Is that true of you guys? Or I mean, some of them say brisket, but chicken and ribs are pretty quick for us. But pork, man, that just takes almost a full half hour. What's your longest categories?
It's pork for me as well. It takes me pork.
Yeah,
I'm 20 minutes at least on pork.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's, and there again, it depends. You know, if I'm by myself, I'm separating the shit while my ribs are glazed. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to separate it until I get ready to plate it. But, you know, if I'm cooking by myself, that's what I'm saying. I glaze my ribs when I pull, I have my ribs ready glazed when I pull my chicken off. You know, so I get the 10, 15 minutes I need. And the same way with the pork butts, I'll go ahead and separate those while my ribs are glazed. I'll just stay one step ahead. But when Jan's there, you know, I can plate it accordingly to where it goes. But for us, you know, pork is probably the – we've cut our time down on doing pork. It takes us about 15, 20 minutes max. We've cut our time now because we've been cooking better pork in here so we don't have to go through so much. But, you know, us, the ribs, because we're tasting, you know, I cook four or five racks of ribs, you know, because I got them. And, you know, we're tasting them and we're analyzing them. And, you know, it takes just as long for me to do ribs as it does pork.
Now, really?
As far as actually, you know, some people cook two racks of ribs, it is what it is. We've come to realize when we cook four racks, I mean, you can have two totally different than the other two. Even though, you know, they've been on the same amount of time, but the same. You know, some would be tough. It'd be the same temperature, but it'd be tough or this or that. And we're pretty selective on our ribs. And, you know, we've done pretty well on ribs this year. And I think it's because we take a little more time with them. But Jan knows when we hit a good rib. I mean, it's like when you got the moisture and you got the texture and you got the flavor and all that, then, you know, then once we decide, it's 3 minutes there in the box. But it's just a decision factor. It's like a corporate room in there where you're trying to make a corporate decision on them.
Mm-hmm.
And we may overthink it too much. I don't know, but you know, if we don't have enough to make get all the ribs out of one rack, then we have to find two that are real similar. And
I cut my ribs on a bandsaw ahead of time, and so they're all the same length. That way it makes it a hell of a lot easier if you do have to get out of two or three racks. And
right.
You know, that's just something we learned. It's like, you know, we might only get two bones out of one rack that I like. You know, they're meaty, and then, you know, go to another rack, and if the bones or everything are cut the same, you usually can get them to line up, especially if they're on a bed of parsley. I mean, you just kind of smash, if one end's a little, probably kind of smash it down in there a little more. And I would say there's lots of times that nobody can tell that we do that.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I know rubbing them don't deal with parsley, but, you know, the good advantage of having garnish in here is you can cover up a lot of crap, you know. You can cover up a lot of blemishes, or like if your chicken isn't exactly square and you start fitting it in between your chicken pieces so they look square, I mean, or round or whatever shape you want, trapezoid, I don't know. But you know, it covers up a lot, and to me it makes a really good presentation. Now with rub, I know it's just the meat and FBA because I do a lot of SCBAs and SBNs and all that, and we have no garnish in those. And I mean, I like it as well because I can get kind of creative with the meat in there. And but you know, I it doesn't bother me one way or the other. A lot of people just bitch and moan about the garnishment, and I'm like, dude, man, that can help you a couple points. You know, that's the one thing that's 100% controlled by you is the plating, the appearance. And you know, it doesn't matter to me either way, but I like to see garnish in those boxes. I don't know how rub feels because I'm not.
We've done a lot of contests without garnish. You know, I know Rub used to do the Douglas, Georgia, the best of the best down there, and we've done some other ones. But I actually prefer not to mess with garnish. I think it's a meat contest. And the problem I really have is just so wasteful. We go out and spend $30-$40 on, we do buy lettuce and we do parsley. And the other thing is, before we leave for a contest, it's the last thing we do. We go make a trip in the town here and go hunt for garnish. You know, so it's real fresh.
Yeah,
and I just do not have to do that.
Three, four.
It's just laziness, you know. Yeah.
Well, there's two or three stores minimum to get what you need. Some of them might have good parsley, some may have good lettuce, some may have good this. You know, or one or two here, or one or two there. Yeah, it is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
A royal pain. But, you know, there again, sometimes it helps you, sometimes it hurts you. But, you know, to us also, you know, parsley is actually a herb. So I'm wondering, from a judging standpoint, however long that meat sits in there on that parsley, how much does that change the flavor of that meat? Or does it change it? I mean,
have you ever watched people judge and that they pick up like a rib or something and the parsley is hanging on it and they have to brush it all off? I've heard judges say that. Yeah, so what we try to do is I put a bed of chopped lettuce down and then we leave long stems on there. We stick it down in there so it's less likely to come up. But,
right.
You know, we've done this a long time. We learned all these tricks and everything, but still I'd prefer not to do it because we probably spend, my wife and I, probably spend an hour and a half building boxes, and I'd just soon be out having a beer and relaxing.
Well, I tell you what, next time we cook with you, I'll show you how to do my box. We'll even get 9, and it takes us 15 minutes to build 4 boxes.
Well, I know how to do them real quick, too, but we do some real complicated boxes. My pork box is extremely complicated. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but
why not?
Most of them are pretty simple, but the pork ones real complicated. Yeah, we do some fancy stuff. You know, we're not the newcomers at this, so we get fancy sometimes.
It's just us. Nobody else will know.
Yeah, I mean we if we don't get in chicken or something in pork, if we don't get a 9, we're pissed. You know, I think that's last week. I think we did get in pork. I think we got mostly 9s. I don't recall getting anything lower than that in presentation. But you know, the weighting of the scores has even changed this year, and presentation counts even less than it used to. So
yeah, but
I don't know if it's
0.0012 left. I think
0.0012
or 0.0014, whatever.
But if you ever lose a contest by 0.2 thousandths, then you're going to say, damn. I must have put a piece of parsley in the wrong spot.
Well, that's it. You know, we've been, I've always prided myself, you know, we've been getting, you know, 21, 22 9s in appearance, you know, for out of 24. And in Dillard, we got all 9s in the appearance. And then last weekend, my wife, Grand Jan, decided to help me with the boxes. And she, you know, she's seen me do it. And I was injecting meat and stuff. She goes, go and do the boxes. I said, yeah, knock yourself out. Let's do what you got. Well, she did good boxes, and she had all 9s but 1 8 brisket. And I said, uh-huh. See there? You're slacking off. This is what I'm talking about. And but we got all 8. We got all 8s in brisket. That guy was a low-scoring judge the whole day on day. So she's like, that score got thrown out. We're not worried about that one. But she did good for the first time.
I've got in arguments with judges before, and what kind of my pet peeve is, when you see a judge give like a 9
877 or a 966 or 866. And I say, I don't understand. To me, that's laziness. I said, taste and tenderness are two separate things. I mean, you could have a brisket cooked perfectly. It should be a 9 on the tenderness when they pop it. And maybe the taste is off that day. And we've all had that. You get a brisket, and it just don't taste right, no matter what you do to it. And it's like, I see this whole time where the taste and tenderness numbers are exactly the same. And I think once they do the presentation score and they taste it, I think a lot of them just write down the same number for those two. Or the opposite of that would be it tastes really good, and maybe it's not real tender. And I when I see them two numbers, and maybe it's deserved, but I think they use this, they duplicate them numbers way too many times.
I don't think they decipher in between them, in my opinion. And usually it's on the newer judges. You know, when I talk to some of the older judges and stuff, it's a lot of people do the pull test or drape over your finger test and all that sort of crap. But they say to get that 9 and tenderness is, they take a bite and they put it in the mouth and they kind of squish it with their tongue. See if it still has a little texture, if it just turns to mush. And he said that's how the good judges do it. It's not just one or two different ways. It's when you really bite into it. Because he said they can bring it up to a 9 too. If it feels a little loose here and you put it in your mouth but it's still got good texture, he said, I'll give you a 9. He said, whereas if with the pull and everything, I might have given you an 8. But he said it can work the other way too. But, that's the whole thing about, I really like to see these judges cooking with teams when after 5 or 6 so they really understand what goes on and they understand the complexities of judging and not just going there to fill up a cooler, because there are judges and there are eaters. I'm sorry, but they're there. And, they're more worried about how much food they're going to get at the end of the damn day than they are about judging. And, every judge that we've had cook with us, which has been 12 or 14 or whatever the last couple of years, they've got a whole new appreciation for the judging process, and they take it a lot more serious. And they're also, they're keen on what you were just saying, the difference between taste and tenderness. They're really keen on those as being two separate things and not being the same. And, which I applaud them for that. But, I don't know how they're teaching the judging schools or whatever, but they really, really need to just hammer it in their head how to do it.
They should have refresher courses once in a while. I see on these people post on Facebook, they'll say, great, judge my box, and they got that barbecue critic thing. And I think lots of course they're just going by a picture, and it's hard to do that. But they'll say, well, there's 6 thighs in there. One of them was slightly bigger. Or they'll talk about sauce on the top of the lid. You know what? You don't mark down their sauce on the top of the lid. The reps, or not the reps, but whoever the table cat, they might have set a box on top of another one. Chickens come. And we try to trim our meat the same size. But, you could weigh them on a postal scale and get them exactly the same weight. And when you cook them, they might have more fat that renders out. And, it's impossible to get them the same exact size. And I think judges get overcritical on that, especially ribs. They'll say, well, that rib's a little longer. It's a little wider. It's like, it's an animal. It doesn't have
any. Really, it's not going to have a slime rib. Use the same rack. The other thing, too, is and I know Russ probably saying you probably have, too, is these judges that, if your burnt ends aren't there, so you don't put them in, or, you don't want to pull pork in your box. You just want to use money muscle, whatever. And they take off because they don't see something in there. And a lot of these are the older judges that are just setting their ways. And we had a couple up here, Banjo, he was like that. One guy wouldn't give above a 6 or 7 in appearance on pork. And they said, why not? Well, it doesn't have pull in there. But it don't have to have pull. You got to judge it for what it is. Well, if they want higher than 6, they better have pull in there. They said, you can't judge it like that. He said, I've been judging that way all my life. I'm going to keep on judging that way. Well, they excused his butt after that.
I've helped I just helped up in Montana. They had a judges class, and I did the boxes for them. And I've helped with about a dozen or more judges class, and I listen to it when I'm not doing stuff. And that's one of the things they say. They go, you judge on what's in front of you, not, you can't judge what's not there. And the other thing is they only get a 4 or 5 hour class. It's hard to absorb everything.
Right.
And just a few years ago, we had a gal, and she got on Ray Bassel's forum, and she goes, I didn't know how to judge it. She goes, there were 6 pieces of chicken, and they weren't all identical. And at the time, the rule was 6 identifiable. I'm sure she heard identifiable, and it registered as identical.
and everybody jumped on her. Said, oh, you know, they don't have to be identical. You could put three legs in and three thighs. You could put three pieces of breast meat in and three thighs. You know, or you could put three of each. You know, you could have nine. It's like, I don't know where they get some of these ideas. And you know what? KCBS at the class, they tell you what the tests are and how to judge the meat. And you're not supposed to make up your own test. And I guess I get a little rough on them sometimes, but they do. They tend to make up different tests than what they're supposed to.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're the ones that are spending the money on all this stuff. Now, granted, they spend money to come to the contest. And, you know, I don't care if the judges take food home with them. You know, that's one of the, I guess, one of the perks of doing it. But the other thing is, too, is, you know, they'll sit there just in coolers and wondering how much meat you're going to get or go to graze the table and just load it up in your cooler to take home, you know, and make that your first priority. Your first priority is judge these things, you know, as good as you can. And, you know, and that's all we're asking for. You know, we're not asking everybody to give nines. I don't want a judge that all he gives is nines. I'm sorry, you know, because that's going to hurt you as much as it's going
to
help you.
The rule needs to be, if you give it a blow, a 9 or 8 in taste, you can't take it home with you.
There you go. You just hit nail on the head. You need to bring that up to the rules committee.
Want those judges give all nines, I'll take them.
Yeah. Well, one judge, just everything he eats, he just gives nines. Yeah, he's got no credibility. You know, you're not going to eat, you know, six pieces of meat that comes across your table that's going to be perfect all the way across every competition. But, you know, with, like you're saying, you know, the judges that kill me is you get nines in appearance and all of a sudden you get a 7. All right, here's what I got to work with, judge. You show me your 9 and I'll judge it. You tell me what I can do different in that box that would make you give you a 9. You know what I'm saying? You look at some of these things, you're just like, I just can't believe you gave me a 7. I got all 9s and everything else, you know. So they're out there.
Well, at these classes, what I would like to see them do is you could get some plastic ribs made, you know, just molded from a regular rack of ribs, and give everybody, have a head of lettuce, have some parsley, and give them plastic ribs and say, here's a styrofoam box. This table one, you make us a box. And let them make a box and just realize how difficult it is to make a box. You know, it's not simple to make stuff look really good. And that's why I like it. I like the idea of judges cooking with a team. And I think they have, like you said, Jim, they have a better appreciation for it once they cook with a team.
So, you know, two judges we had with us to Franklin, they tasted the pork and they're like, oh, my God, I've never had pork this good at a contest. I don't know what it is. And we come over and get 20 knives and pork. And they said, what the hell happened? I said, you the judge, you tell me. and that's what I mean. That's the whole new appreciation. You know, they said, this brisket is the bomb. Well, we got 16. They're like, really? What was wrong with it? You tell me. You liked it. They said, we loved it. And I said, you know, that's what happened. I said, you know, it may be the best pork you ever tasted in your life, but obviously, you know, the other judges didn't think the same way you did. So, you know, it's just one of the things. And that still comes along the point where you don't change anything, you know. So you go from the second report 1 week to 29th the next, you know, it's kind of disheartening. But, you know, you can't change anything.
I took the Memphis in May judging class, and, you know, they actually test you on it afterwards. And if you don't pass, you don't judge. KCBS doesn't do that. You take the class, and anybody who takes the class is a judge. And I guess the point of all that is, you know, they're training so many people, and a lot of them would like to judge. I mean, you know, you have to let them judge. This is how they learn. And afterwards they can talk to each other. But, you know, you got to have first-time judges, but you don't want to have more than one first-time judge at each table. And, you know, we've been to contests where they have more because they have a lot of them. They just trained. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is. We want them all to be experienced, and it's not possible. But there again, you know, what do? You know, it's, you know, I'm sure Rob's about the same. It costs us usually, I'd say, on average, close to $1,000 now to do a contest. And, man, that's a lot of money to go out and train judges.
Yeah.
And
you know, in the big picture, there's really not a whole lot you can do about it. You just cook your best, come down, cross your fingers, and hope that things go your way.
Yeah.
About
it. Jim, I'm gonna drop off of here. I got some shopping to do, and it's been nice talking. And anytime you want me to come on the show, just get a hold of me, okay?
Okay, because like I said, I got a lot of people that want to hear what you have to say because you've been doing it so long. You're very knowledgeable of all the rules and everything. And but we'll keep getting you on here every so often, and it's great talking to you, man. I enjoy it. I'm still learning. I learned a lot, you know, even with Rub. He's been around a while and won a lot. So
most of that stuff they say about something. Rub isn't true, but he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, but some of it is. Some of it is, though.
All right, well, hey, Rob, we'll see you guys. We'll see Rob at the Jack, and maybe we'll see you, Jim, at the Jack, and also at the Sam's Club. We'll hope to see both. Did you qualify, Rob?
I won the local. I still have to go to the regional, but...
both of you are going to be at the regional. Well, good luck there. Maybe we'll both see you in Bentonville. And I don't know if you've been there before, but that's a good contest, and it's a lot of fun. They take us out to dinner at a hotel, and... they bring you a big flat just full of, you know, goodies and stuff like that, and stuff you need for barbecue and food. And like, you get like a 10-pound thing of animal crackers. I mean, if you got grandkids or kids, I mean, so they take good orders.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see you out there.
I was there with you last year, Mike. You just ignored me.
What?
I said I was there with you last year. You just ignored me.
Oh, well, I'm busy cooking.
Well, Ralph, that's the thing. You know, I told you he was up on that pedestal for making it to the Jack. So, you know, when you get a few more, then you know, you can talk to him.
King was.
I don't know who's there. You know what? I'm getting old and senile. I don't know what's going on anymore. My wife just says, points me to the counter and the means. She says, here, cook this. That's about all it is anymore. So, anyway, we'll see you guys later. Hey, nice talking to
you. Mike. Enjoyed it, buddy. Bye. Take care. Good luck.
See you, Mike.
Rob, I'm glad you're only on here for 30 minutes, man. I didn't want to keep you on here any longer.
Yeah. Man, I got to get out of here, too. I got to go to work. But I've had a lot of fun talking with this.
Oh, man, we have a good time. You got any classes coming up you want to talk about before you get off? Or?
I don't have it in ink yet, but it's looking like I'm going to pop one up here. I can't remember the date right now, but I'll have it up on my website and Facebook. But it's probably in about 2 months or less, so it'll be a quick one. We had a contest cancel out, opened up a weekend for me, and some people have been asking. So I'm going to go ahead and I believe, put one out there real quick and see if we can't get a few people to come down.
Well, if you get a date, let me know, and I'll get you back on the show. We'll push it on here. It's going to be sometime in October, I believe, isn't it?
Let's see. No, actually, I think it's September.
September,
beginning of October, something like that.
Okay. Well, at least we'll kind of give a ballpark area. But, yeah, when you get something inked in, let me know, and we'll get you back on here, or I'll push it on here, and we'll get the word out to get some students down there, because I see you're the man right now. Kicking butt, taking names. But,
I appreciate it.
Hey, man, it was great to see you up there, and we had a good time and everything. We're looking forward to seeing you. I guess next one we'll see you at will be up there in Hendersonville. And,
yeah.
Hopefully we can both make
favor.
It on.
Give your wife a big kiss for me and tell her thank you. I appreciate her.
I will. she loves you, Jeff, man. Just something about you. She just cracks up when you talk. She said, that Rub, he's just kind of quiet and everything, but she said, when he says something, it's just hilarious. So, no, we really enjoyed it there. So we enjoyed eating there with you that Saturday night. I was glad that we could celebrate your 7 with us. And, you know, like I said, we enjoyed it. Enjoy your company and enjoy your friendship, buddy. And
thank you.
You take care, and hopefully we'll see you in about 3 or 4 weeks up there in Hendersonville.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Rub from Font Boys. We've got another caller on. Just can't get him on real quick. 44840. Hello.
Hello, Magic.
Oh, hey. What's up, David?
Hey, Jim. Been trying to catch the show here the past 45 minutes or so.
Okay. We're actually pretty much out of time right now. I'm on recording right now.
Oh, go ahead. Okay.
But I was just fixing the show. Rub just left, and Mike Carroll, and we had Donnie from 120 Pork Chopper. So. But anyway, so you got a lot of products out there for sale. A few products anyway. You got some rubs and sauces. DavidAtGrillAndMagic.com, is that right?
Yeah, it's Grill and Magic, GRILLINMAGIC.com.
All right, well, if people want to pick up some good rubs and sauces, check it out. He's got a nice line of them, and he's out there competing. And are you doing Kennesaw this year? Or?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. Well, we'll keep tabs on that this weekend. That's coming up this weekend, the Pigs and Peaches. And there's going to be a lot of good teams up there.
Yeah. But we'll be up there. That's all that matters now.
That's it. You just got to worry about numero uno. You don't have to worry about anybody else.
I'm not worried about him.
Well, we fixed it off here, Mike. I'm going to give my sponsors a shout-out, and I'm going to head on and go trim some feet. So that was Mike from David from Grill and Magic. Like I said, if you want to order you some stuff, go to grillandmagic.com and check his website out and everything, and get you some good rubs and sauces and stuff. Like I said, I do want to put another plug in for this Totally Q book that I got from George Hensler. It's a pretty good book. It's a fun read. There's a lot of truth to it, and I'm looking forward to reading the whole thing one day. But I think it's a very well written book, and talks about the whole insider's look of competition barbecue and everything else. So give it a shot, look at it up online or whatever, and get you one. They're not that expensive. And see what you think. It'd make a good read at a contest. So I'm Jim Bird with Killer Bees, and I want to thank our sponsors, which is Big Daddy's Bar and Grill here in Evans, Georgia. I'd like to thank Scott and Tim from Southern Q Smokers for building some of the best smokers on the planet. I want to congratulate both him and Jeff WikiQ. Another one of the sponsors, got a great line of products, WikiQ.com. You need to give him a buzz. He just won another contest here in Georgia, number one team in Georgia. I'd like to thank Springer Mountain Farms for having us on, great chicken. We're really pleased with the product we've had. And I'd like to thank Butcher Barbecue for putting up with us this year and supplying us with the much-needed rubs and sauces that we use that he's got. I also want to thank Phoenix Printing and Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills, and one of our big sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal. Without them, they were our first sponsor. We couldn't do it without them, and we really appreciate everything they do for us. So for Jim Bird here at Killer Bees and Barbecue Superstars, on this Monday night, we're going to close the show out, and we'll talk to y'all next Monday night. Be safe.